escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Welcome, my friends. That's right. It's At Your Service time here on a beautiful Tuesday night, coming at you from Mid-America in St. Louis. Greg Damon hanging out with you tonight here on KMOX At Your Service. We're going to have some fun tonight. We got all sorts of great guests coming in. We got a lot of stuff to talk about as well. I want to bring in our good friend Matt Pauly. Matt is going to hang out here on the show for a few minutes. Matt, thanks for hanging out with us. First time that we've worked together, been on my show.
Yeah, we've crossed paths a time as Sports Open Line's coming to an end, and you're coming in to host your show. But good to hang out with you for a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, first I want to say great job on the play-by-play. Man, that was pretty flipping awesome. And, really, really enjoyed the insightful commentary and everything else.
It was a lot of fun. It was, I spent 10 years as a minor league baseball play-by-play broadcaster, and then I kind of thought that it wasn't going to happen ever at the big league level, and then just the a couple people weren't available, and I was sitting in other people's seats for a few days, and, I respect so much the job that Ricky Horton and Mike Claiborne do on Cardinals broadcast, so I was just trying to do them proud while I sat in their seat for a few days.
I do some play-by-play for high school football, but I got to tell you, many folks out there in KMOX land don't realize there's a lot of work that goes into that.
There is, and the idea is for it to sound like not a lot of work went into it without it sounding bad in that direction. So, and that's a lot of credit goes to John Rooney because he was there. I think not that I didn't know this about him, but the thing that I experienced firsthand sitting next to him is the work that he puts in, just how, I thought I prepared for a game, and I'm watching him, and it was incredible to see all the things he does, and then how much he cares about the product on the air overall. And not just how he sounds, but how from the moment the pregame show starts to the moment the postgame show ends, the job is to put together a really solid-sounding broadcast, and John sat next to me and, figuratively held my hand through those 4 days, and I'm very appreciative.
As a listener, I will tell you, it seems seamlessly like you were just, hey, I've been doing this on the Cardinal broadcast forever, and there was no flinching, mismatch, anything like that. I mean, it was just like, hey, he's calling the game.
Yeah, it didn't always feel that way for me. And yeah, growing up in St. Louis, and my dad actually worked here at KMOX in the 60s, and just growing up on KMOX and stories of Bob Hyland and everything, and knowing that my dad did some behind-the-scenes work with Cardinal Radio, with Jack Buck and with Harry Carey, and then for me to be for 4 days broadcasting those games. Like, I already pinched myself doing the pre- and post-game show on the Cardinals Radio Network. To be doing those games just meant the world to me, and I'm so thankful it happened.
Well, it was pretty amazing. I was very happy for you, very proud of you. I thought you did us here at the station a great job.
Well, thank you. That means a lot. And I tried to go through all the Facebook messages and Twitter messages. I don't know if I got to everybody. Heard from so many people. That was the other thing. So my journey from St. Louis, and then I went to college at K-State. After that, I worked in Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, Georgia, Colorado. I'm probably missing something in there. I came from Milwaukee. I was doing Brewer stuff before I got here. And every single one of those places was represented in me hearing congratulations.
Nice.
And that was really, really cool. They wrote a story about me in the Burlington, Iowa newspaper because I spent 2 years as the voice of the Burlington Bees. Like, little things like that are kind of cool.
Oh my gosh, that's so awesome. So awesome. Well, we're kind of talking about the Cardinals. I got a couple of questions that I want to say. Who's going to be the new face of the Cardinals? I mean, obviously, Wainwright's gone. Pujols is gone. Yachty's gone. Who's going to be the next one up, stepping up?
I think in the short term, it's still Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt. But at the same time, to have young, phenomenal players like Jordan Walker and Mason Winn, and maybe a little bit to a lesser extent, Nolan Gorman, though that's that next batch. That's going to be your core. When Goldschmidt and Arenado, when their time with the Cardinals are done, whether it's 3 years down the road or 5, 6, 7 years down the road, at some point it's going to transition that the core of your team, the face of your team, is probably going to be that group. And there's some other guys coming up from a pitching standpoint. The most exciting prospect right now is Tink Hentz.
Right.
He's still a little ways away from getting to the big leagues. But that's I do think that there's a lot of reason to be excited about Walker and Winn.
What about Lars Nootbaar? He seems like he's a big fan favorite.
Yeah, he's obviously a fan favorite. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. He's clearly a big part of what the team needs to do offensively. There was the talk last year in the offseason because the Cardinals had been rumored to be talking to a number of teams. I remember talking with a guy by the name of Craig Mish, who covers the Marlins. And basically the indication was last year the Cardinals could have had any pitcher not named Sandy Alcantara from the Marlins if they would have been willing to trade Lars Nootbaar, and the team was not willing to trade Lars Nootbaar. Now, I don't know how true that is. That's coming from more of a Florida source than a St. Louis source, but Craig's really good at what he does. That just tells you how important this guy is. Somebody who keeps the team loose, who brings a lot of energy and excitement every day, and has an interesting skill set. When you look at what he profiles out offensively, the fact that he can be an above average outfielder, can play center field, there's a lot of things that he does quite well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I want to switch it up a little bit. Obviously, hockey starting. I want to talk a little bit about the Blues. They really didn't make any major moves over the offseason other than getting Kevin Hayes from Philadelphia. Pretty much the same thing. I got to tell you, for me being a huge hockey fan, the defense still scares me.
And I think that's a fair fair feeling because of what they did last year defensively. They weren't very good. Can your top four defensemen, Nick Leddy, Colton Pareko, Torrey Krug, Justin Falk, those would be your considered top four defensemen, can they go and shut down top line elite scorers on other teams? And I think that's to be determined. That's a really big question for this team. They're going to score goals. That top line of Buchnevich, Thomas, and Kyrou, that's going to be a really good line, I think. And I think they're going to come into their own. The fact that that group was pretty much left alone in training camp, they're spending a lot of time together on the ice. There's a lot of reasons to be very excited about what this team can do from a goal-scoring standpoint. But what you brought up, again, it's you can like these individuals, but when you take a step back and look at the team, do you have a group of defensemen that can go shut down, the Colorado Avalanche and their group of goal scorers, whatever elite goal scoring team that you want to look at. And I don't have an answer to that question right now. I don't know if this group can do that.
Yeah. Can you hang a few more minutes? Yeah. I got to do a little business, but come back. I got some other stuff I want to talk to you about. Stick around, folks. This is At Your Service on a beautiful Tuesday night here in St. Louis on KMOX. This is Greg Damon. We'll be back right after these.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with All Trails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Welcome back, my friends. KMOX at your service, 818 right here in the heart of Mid-America. Matt Pajeski kicking out the jams today. None of that Kevin Wheeler stuff. We got all sorts of good music coming up all night long here on KMOX. But more importantly, Matt Pauly hanging out with us here for a few more minutes on KMOX's At Your Service. Talk a little hockey. So we were kind of talked about the defense here. I'm looking for an improved season from Torrey Krug. He seems revitalized and healthy.
He was a disappointment last year. There was a lot of disappointing players last year.
You look at him in the Stanley Cup Finals when we played him. Guy was a madman. Since he's been with the Blues, not so much.
Yeah, Dave, I think the ceiling for this team is being contending for a playoff spot. And I don't know if I'd use the term sneaking in, but not also being a one or a two seed, right, not winning the division, anything like that. Just getting into the playoffs is probably the ceiling for this team. And a lot of things have to happen. A lot of players have to take steps forward, but you can make the argument, especially from a defensive standpoint, Krug's the most important player. He's the guy who, when he came in, you felt like had the opportunity to be able to shut guys down and be a big part of what this team wants to do. And you just didn't see it last year, but you've seen it before in his career. So.
Right, and scoring goals, big power play guy.
Yeah.
And, scoring goals, that's a big one we need.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's going to be on that first power play unit. Buchnevich, Kyrou, Thomas, Shen, and Krug will probably be that first power play unit. I like this team from a goal-scoring standpoint. Now, another area that they got to take a step forward is scoring on the power play. When they get on the power play, they got to freaking score goals. And they didn't do that as much as they should have last year. Those are the two areas. You take a step forward defensively, you score some goals on the power play, and that's probably the equation to this team being pretty good this year.
Well, I'm going to throw in Jordan Binnington, always a wild card. You kind of never know. You know, he's like the Barbie dream date. When you open the door, you don't know what Jordan Binnington you're getting. And what I'm saying is he's not a bad goaltender, but sometimes he gets a little mind games going and takes him off his game.
Yeah, I think if everything is steady in front of him, I think he's going to be fine. It's when there's a lot of adversity around him that at first he reacts really well to that, but then it feels like he starts going down a hill and he gets a little bit too animated, and there's just a lot. All of a sudden, it goes from being able to take adversity as a positive, and it very quickly turns into a negative. And we saw that a little bit last year, and Craig Berube talked about it. And yeah, it was the year before in the postseason against Colorado when they almost stole that series before he got injured. Like, he used that in a really positive way, but there's got to be a lot of other good things going on around him for that to work.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of teams, they know how to get underneath of his skin, and when that happens, it also takes him out of his game.
Yeah, absolutely. So hopefully from a mental standpoint, he's in good shape. But here's the thing, that the easiest way to fix that is to have a really strong defense in front of him. Don't put him in a position where he's making save after save after save and seeing 40 shots or whatever it might be a night. If you have good, steady defense in front of him, and then he can kind of pick and choose his spots to use his emotion, that's how he's good.
Yeah, absolutely. Defense has got to clear the puck out of the way. After that first shot and he stops it, they've got to get it out of the way. But now, do you think, I'm going to throw this out there, Joel Holfer, as a prospect, hey, this guy's the real deal. Do you think that's going to push Jordan Binnington a little bit to be better?
I don't think it's going to push. I don't know. It's an interesting question that I don't have an answer to. The Blues have not been very good at developing top-tier goaltenders, and I would make the argument that if the Blues never would have won the Stanley Cup, there's a pretty good chance that Jordan Binnington is not still there. He certainly wouldn't get the contract, all those sort of things. You can make the argument that the Blues have not really developed a top-tier goaltender since Curtis Joseph. When you look, now some of these guys have been with the Blues and have gone to other teams and have been top-tier goaltenders, and that's always frustrating. So I always pump the brakes a little bit when I'm talking about these young guys, because we really haven't seen the Blues do much with young goaltenders.
Now, you brought up a great point about Jordan Binnington not being with the team. You know, I always thought if you looked at the shortened year that the hockey had a couple years ago, the COVID shortened year, and last year, you know, he's just an average goaltender.
Yeah.
You know, he may steal you a few games, but he's going to lose you a few games.
Absolutely. Sure. And again, but the thing with him is you see him at his best, and he can steal games,
right,
and he tends to steal games in the biggest situations. So you like to have that guy on your team.
Well, the Stanley Cup playoff run, I mean, that guy was, man, he was on fire.
He was.
You know, and it was like he expected to win every night. And I just didn't know, you know, I hope he gets that confidence back, that swagger back, that, because we're definitely going to need it this year.
And I think another question is, what does he look like when it's just the standard game in January? You know, can he go out and be that guy who you can trust to start most nights, who can be your true starting goalie, who's going to be very steady during the year, but then can go find that next level in the playoffs when you really need it?
Yeah, he needs to ramp it up a little bit. I want to talk about the pickups that we made towards the end of the year with Verana and a couple of the other guys. I thought Doug Armstrong is just he's a magician.
Yeah.
I don't know how he gets these guys, and they come in and they perform really well.
Yeah, you know, Verana, Kapanen's another guy who came in. Sammy Blais returned.
Also, yep.
Oscar Sundquist wanted to be back in the organization, and
great
he returns as well. None of these guys just jump off the page as being difference-making players, but they're all solid players. And the other thing we haven't even talked about, the Blues continue to sit in salary cap hell. They are in such a tough spot.
Right.
And it all goes back to winning the Stanley Cup and then having COVID happening shortly thereafter. Anytime you win the Cup, you're going to give some contract extensions and some raises to some of your own guys. That happened with the Blues. Then the Cup, the cap stopped moving the way you would expect it to move forward because of COVID. I think the Blues were more impacted by that than most other teams in the NHL. So when you're the Blues, what you have to do is you have to go find players who can contribute, and some of them aren't going to be paid a whole lot of money. And I think a lot of these guys that we just mentioned kind of fall under that category.
Yeah, but you know, they're always also playing for their next contract.
Sure, absolutely.
So.
And guys like being here in St. Louis, it's such a great hockey fan base and a great hockey community that, going back to Oscar Sundquist, he wanted to be here. He loved playing in St. Louis.
No, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Let's see. What else as far as Cardinals or the Blues? What about Billiken basketball?
That's a team that they just need to start playing for us to start to give and get an indication on who they are going to be this year. You know, last year they had a nice season, but at the same time, yeah, I think most people thought it was a disappointing season because a lot of people looked at last year as having the potential to be one of the top years really in the history of that program, and it just didn't work out that way. And the roster has changed a ton going into this year. They've brought in a fair amount of size, and that isn't something that you see a lot of teams doing. We're living in a guard heavy world right now when it comes to college basketball. SLU did bring in some size. There are some exciting players that you want to see take a step forward. There's also some players there that you're very used to seeing, the Gibson Jimmersons, the Sincere Parkers, guys like that. So I am intrigued by this team. They have the potential to be a darn good team, and they have the potential to be kind of a below average team. They don't play in a great league. Last year, the A-10 was really, really down. I'd be lying to you if I told you I knew much about the A-10 at this point in time. I don't know where the league is going to be at, but I do think in a league like that, if you can put things together, you're always going to have the opportunity to put together some wins and have a pretty nice season.
Yep, absolutely. Well, Matt, I want to thank you so much for hanging out and going overtime tonight with us on At Your Service. And again, great job calling the Cardinal game.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This is fun.
All right. Fantastic. That's Matt Pauly. My name is Greg Damon. We're going to do a little business. We're going to switch it up in just a few minutes. John Hancock's going to join us. Stick around. More to come on At Your Service. Back at it here on At Your Service on a Tuesday evening. 8:31 is your time right here in the heart of Mid-America. And we're going to switch gears a little bit, talk a little politics. Although, you know, I'm not a big political guy. You know, I tell you, folks, I keep my stuff pretty close to the vest. I don't talk about politics all that much, but there's some stuff going on in the country that I would really like some answers to. So I have our good friend John Hancock here on KMOX. He's been kind enough to hang out with us here on At Your Service. John, thanks for coming on the program.
Greg, it's good to be with you, and congratulations again on your svelte appearance.
Well, John, you certainly caught me off guard on that. I don't know about the svelte appearance, but I'll take it. As a fat guy, I'll take anything I can get. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
Well, John, a couple of things that I really wanted to talk about. Obviously, this kind of goes back to Kevin McCarthy removed as Speaker of the House, and I guess what I want to know is why is this happen, or why did this happen? And you know, it was Republicans and Democrats that actually got together and voted him out.
Yeah, so McCarthy, you might remember back in January, took 15 ballots for him to get nominated and elected Speaker of the House. And because he didn't have his entire caucus with him then, and the Republicans, he's got a 4-seat majority, so which is one of the thinnest majorities in the history of the country for the House of Representatives. And one of the things he negotiated into the rules was that any single member could file what is called a motion to vacate the speaker, which is basically a vote of no confidence.
Okay.
And Matt Gaetz, who's got a case pending in the Ethics Committee right now, and who's not happy about that, and who's not particularly happy with Kevin McCarthy, used the Republicans passed a continuing resolution a week or so ago to keep the government open. Otherwise, the government would have shut down on October 1st.
Right.
So they passed a continuing resolution with 100 and some Republicans, and 100 and some Democrats voting for it. Gates used that and filed a motion to vacate the speaker. He got 7 Republican colleagues to vote with him, and fully 202 Democrats voted with those 8 Republicans and effectively removed Kevin McCarthy from being the House Speaker. So that's how we got here. It's a lot of interpersonal vendetta kind of stuff, as well as for some of those 8 Republicans, they were principally upset with McCarthy's leadership style. But clearly the vast majority of Republicans in Congress supported McCarthy, but he didn't have enough votes at the end of the day.
So why would they want him removed? I guess because they didn't like the way that he was running the Republican side or running the House?
Yeah, of the 8 people that voted him out, I'm sure there was a couple of them that just didn't like him. There were a couple of them that thought he had lied to them. Whether or not he did or not is an open question. There were some who thought that he wasn't doing enough to move the conservative agenda. And there was just a host of reasons, you know, that there were 8 Republicans that joined with all the Democrats and whoop, he's gone.
Well, you know, I tell you, you know, being an American, being a voter, hey, all of these politicians, they work for us. And I have to tell you, I get tired of this budget thing that happens. Seems like it happens every couple of years. They wait till the last minute, and then it's a big thing where they throw to the American people, we're going to have to shut down the government, people are going to get laid off, and it's just big rigmarole that just goes on and on every couple of years. I mean, they should be ashamed of themselves that they hold the American people hostage like this every several years.
So I could, if you'd like, I can kind of get into the weeds on this, kind of like when
Absolutely.
you diagnosed my sway bar issue, which I didn't know what a sway bar was.
Absolutely.
So I'll give you the sway bar explanation.
Perfect.
So there are 2 distinct fiscal situations that occur in the country. One is what we just went through, which is an annual budget. The budget's got to be approved by October 1st every single year. Otherwise, there's no money to fund the government. And historically, the budget's passed. But within the last 15 to 20 years, that has become increasingly difficult. And you've got divided Congress where the Republicans now have the House and the Democrats have the Senate. And there are a series of 12 appropriations bills that have to get passed by October 1st, or there's no budget to run the government. That happens every single year. Usually, Congress passes something called a continuing resolution when they can't pass a budget. And that's what passed on September 30th. And that simply funds the government at its current levels. A lot of people refer to it as kicking the can down the road. There is no budget. There's no appropriations bills, but the government continues to be funded at the old levels. So that happens every year. You either pass a budget or a continuing resolution or the government shuts down on October 1st. That's every year. The other fiscal reality that exists is the debt ceiling limit. So in the United States, we have a national debt, 37. That's a lot. And I think it's 37 trillion.
I think you're right. I think it is 37 trillion.
And so there's a debt that we carry. It's the accumulation of every deficit we've ever run up since the beginning of time. And so that debt has to be serviced with, you know, payments, like you service a home mortgage.
Sure, you got to pay interest.
Yes. And so, and that interest on that debt currently takes up about 1 out of every 4 tax dollars every year for the government. 25% of our spending is to service the debt that we've accumulated. But there is a ceiling on the debt. The debt can only go so high, and that's a demarcation set by the Congress. This is the debt ceiling. And so typically you have a budget, you run a deficit. That's the annual difference between how much you take in and how much you spend is the annual deficit. And it's the deficit upon deficit that creates then the debt. So the debt ceiling is an arbitrary number the Congress sets, and we can't borrow any money after that. That gets triggered sporadically, and we run up against the debt ceiling whenever, you know, whatever the number is, $37.42 trillion, say. And when we're going to overspend that amount, And we can look on the calendar and see that's coming in, you know, 35, 50 days or whatever. Congress either has to set a new debt ceiling, raise the debt ceiling to allow more spending, or they fail to do that, and that shuts down the government. So you've got both of those things going on, the annual appropriation every year and the debt ceiling that comes around depending on...
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature. With over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Back at it here on At Your Service on a Tuesday evening. 8:31 is your time right here in the heart of Mid-America. And we're going to switch gears a little bit, talk a little politics. Although, you know, I'm not a big political guy. I tell you, folks, I keep my stuff pretty close to the vest. I don't really don't talk about politics all that much, but there's some stuff going on in the country that I would really like some answers to. So I have our good friend John Hancock here on KMOX. He's been kind enough to hang out with us here on At Your Service. John, thanks for coming on the program.
Greg, it's good to be with you, and congratulations again on your svelte appearance.
Well, John, you certainly caught me off guard on that. I don't know about the svelte appearance, but I'll take it. As a fat guy, I'll take anything I can get. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
Well, John, a couple of things that I really wanted to talk about. Obviously, this kind of goes back to Kevin McCarthy removed as Speaker of the House, and I guess what I want to know is why is this happen or why did this happen? And you know, it was Republicans and Democrats that actually got together and voted him out.
Yeah, so McCarthy, you might remember back in January, took 15 ballots for him to get nominated and elected Speaker of the House. And because he didn't have his entire caucus with him then, and the Republicans, he's got a 4-seat majority, so which is one of the thinnest majorities in the history of the country for the House of Representatives. And one of the things he negotiated into the rules was that any single member could file what is called a motion to vacate the speaker, which is basically a vote of no confidence.
Okay.
And Matt Gaetz, who's got a case pending in the Ethics Committee right now, and who's not happy about that, and who's not particularly happy with Kevin McCarthy, used the Republicans passed a continuing resolution a week or so ago to keep the government open. Otherwise, the government would have shut down on October 1st.
Right.
So they passed a continuing resolution with 100 and some Republicans and 100 and some Democrats voting for it. Gaetz used that and filed a motion to vacate the speaker. He got 7 Republican colleagues to vote with him and fully 202 Democrats voted with those 8 Republicans and effectively removed Kevin McCarthy from being the House Speaker. So that's how we got here. It's a lot of interpersonal vendetta kind of stuff, as well as for some of those 8 Republicans, they were principally upset with McCarthy's leadership style. But clearly the vast majority of Republicans in Congress supported McCarthy, but he didn't have enough votes at the end of the day.
So why would they want him removed? I guess because they didn't like the way that he was running the Republican side or running the House?
Yeah, of the 8 people that voted him out, I'm sure there was a couple of them that just didn't like him. There were a couple of them that thought he had lied to them. Whether or not he did or not is an open question. There were some who thought that he wasn't doing enough to move the conservative agenda. And there was just a host of reasons, you know, that there were 8 Republicans that joined with all the Democrats and whoop, he's gone.
Well, you know, I tell you, you know, being an American, being a voter, hey, all of these politicians, they work for us. And I have to tell you, I get tired of this budget thing that happens. Seems like it happens every couple of years. They wait till the last minute, and then it's a big thing where they throw to the American people, we're going to have to shut down the government, people are going to get laid off, and it's just big rigmarole that just goes on and on every couple of years. I mean, they should be ashamed of themselves that they hold the American people hostage like this every several years.
So I could, if you'd like, I can kind of get into the weeds on this, kind of like when
Absolutely.
you diagnosed my sway bar issue, which I didn't know what a sway bar was.
Absolutely.
So, I'll give you the sway bar explanation.
Perfect.
So there are 2 distinct fiscal situations that occur in the country. One is what we just went through, which is an annual budget. The budget's got to be approved by October 1st every single year. Otherwise, there's no money to fund the government. And historically, the budget's passed. But within the last 15 to 20 years, that has become increasingly difficult. And you've got divided Congress where the Republicans now have the House and the Democrats have the Senate. And there are a series of 12 appropriations bills that have to get passed by October 1st, or there's no budget to run the government. That happens every single year. Usually, Congress passes something called a continuing resolution when they can't pass a budget. And that's what passed on September 30th. And that simply funds the government at its current levels. A lot of people refer to it as kicking the can down the road. There is no budget, there's no appropriations bills, but the government continues to be funded at the old levels. So that happens every year. You either pass a budget or a continuing resolution, or the government shuts down on October 1st. That's every year. The other fiscal reality that exists is the debt ceiling limit. So in the United States, we have a national debt, 37, that's a lot. And I think it's $37 trillion.
I think you're right. I think it is $37 trillion.
And so there's a debt that we carry. It's the accumulation of every deficit we've ever run up since the beginning of time. And so that debt has to be serviced with, you know, payments, like you service a home mortgage.
Sure, you got to pay interest.
Yes. And so that interest on that debt currently takes up about 1 out of every 4 tax dollars every year for the government. 25% of our spending is to service the debt that we've accumulated. But there is a ceiling on the debt. The debt can only go so high, and that's a a demarcation set by the Congress. This is the debt ceiling. And so typically you have a budget, you run a deficit. That's the annual difference between how much you take in and how much you spend is the annual deficit. And it's the deficit upon deficit that creates then the debt. So the debt ceiling is an arbitrary number the Congress sets, and you can't borrow any money after that. That gets triggered sporadically. And we run up against the debt ceiling whenever, you know, whatever the number is, $37.42 trillion, say. And when we're going to overspend that amount, and we can look on the calendar and see that's coming in, you know, 35, 50 days or whatever, Congress either has to set a new debt ceiling, raise the debt ceiling to allow more spending, or they fail to do that, and that shuts down the government. So you've got both of those things going on, the annual appropriation every year and the debt ceiling that comes around depending on, you know, could be every 3 years, could be every 6 months, could be, you know, who knows. But those are the two things that result in these the cliffs that we face with the government spending.
So, but it seems like every time Congress just raises the debt ceiling, we just owe more and more and more all the
right.
time.
They do. And, you know, and when one party controls the House, the Senate, and the President, as the Republicans did in the first 2 years of the Trump administration, the debt ceiling debate never materializes because Congress just raises it. It only really becomes a political issue when you've got divided control of either the Congress or the White House in the Congress. Then the debt ceiling can become a debate.
So as far as the American people go, I mean, shouldn't we have a say in something like this?
Yeah. Here's the problem. The government spends too much money, Greg.
Right.
Way too much money. And everybody in theory wants the government to spend less money. But when you start talking about specific ways you're going to cut the spending, people get up in arms. And so when a candidate like a Donald Trump or a Joe Biden, for that matter, campaign for office and say, we're not going to look at reforming Social Security or Medicare because that's a politically popular position. Well, that is such a huge part making up the debt of this country, the deficits of this country, that there's no real way to address spending unless you look at reforming those two programs, not for people that are at or near retirement age, but for younger people down the road. Those programs are going to have to change or they will bankrupt the country. I mean, we're in a speeding train towards 2035 or 2040 when Social Security trust fund is going to be broke and the deficits that we're seeing now are going to look like pennies on the dollar. But politicians aren't willing to address that issue because it's not politically popular. So while the public will say, I want the government to spend less, they will riot in the streets if you talk about reforming Social Security and Medicare. And hence, we have the problem we have.
Well, I mean, you know, as an American that works every day, you know, I've been paying into this Social Security since
yeah.
I've been 14 years old.
Yeah.
So you know, I'd like to be able to retire someday.
Yeah, well, my retirement party is going to be at Pope Chapel, Greg.
Right. I'm going to be the crabby guy working at Home Depot. So
yeah. But I mean, that's kind of where we are. At the end of the day, the politicians basically give us what we want, even if what we want isn't really what we need. And that's certainly the case with spending.
Yeah, for some reason, I think that we've really got to control spending. I mean, it's like the whole government needs to be reformed. I think for most of the American people out there, you know, we look at it and it's like all I hear is the Democrats complaining about the Republicans complaining about the Democrats.
Right.
I'm like, look, I want somebody to work for me. I want somebody to make our country better. I want somebody to make my life better.
The last time the budget was balanced was in 1994, and it hadn't been balanced for decades before that. And in 1994, you had a Democrat in the White House and Republicans controlling the Congress, and they compromised. The Democrats got tax increases that they wanted. Republicans got spending cuts that they wanted. Both of those things happened simultaneously, and the annual deficit was gone for about, well, really until 9/11. in it. But that was the last time it happened, and it was because both sides met and compromised, giving the other side something the other side wanted and getting something they wanted.
Well, you know, we talk about this debt, John, and John Hancock is joining us here on At Your Service. We owe a lot of money to a lot of other countries.
Yes.
And we give money away to other countries like it's just pouring out of our faucet.
Well, we do. And, you know, the foreign aid budget has long been a controversial thing. You know, that kind of gets at the fundamental question about whether America should be primarily focused on our own domestic affairs and not so intimately involved in what's happening in the rest of the world. And there's a large and growing number of Americans that have that belief. The flip side of that, and the side of it that I'm on, is that the world is an unstable place.
Sure.
And it's made more stable and safer with American dominance in the world. And I think the post-World War II history of the world bears out the fact that the world is fundamentally safer and better if America is in the lead. And if America retreats into isolationism, somebody else is going to step into that void. And who's going to step into that void probably is China. And we're probably not going to like the way they conduct world affairs very much. So, you know, we do give away a lot of money in foreign aid, but it's part of America being the predominant force for good in the world, in my opinion. But a lot of people disagree with that.
Well, I think there's a lot of people that would agree with that. Sure, we'd like America to be strong and viable throughout the world. But then on the other hand, I don't like owing a bunch of money to other countries. So,
yeah,
you know, if we could.
Well, that's the debt. I mean, our debt is serviced by a lot of, and there's a lot of Chinese money servicing our debt. I'll tell you where we are now. The debt is so bad right now that we're doing something called monetizing the debt, which is basically we're no longer selling bonds to investors, Americans, foreigners, whomever, to service the debt. We're simply printing money and servicing it ourselves. Which is part of the inflationary pressures that we've had over the last several years. I mean, you know, these are fairly complicated matters.
No, absolutely. And I don't know where to go, John. And I, again, I'm not a political guy, but, you know, just sitting back and watching all this stuff, it just seems like we just have to compromise as a country.
Well, that's certain. If you want things to work, if you want the Congress to work, you absolutely have to compromise. The politics is resolving conflict with nonviolent means is what politics is. And we've become so polarized in this country that it's a rare occasion where the two sides sit down and actually hammer out agreements to do something.
Sure.
There is a group in the House of Representatives called the Problem Solvers Caucus. It's about 50 members, Democrats and Republicans, and they do sit down and try to get together. In fact, it was the Problem Solvers Caucus that was able to put together that bipartisan group to keep the government open 2 weeks ago. So there are voices like that in the Congress. And the other thing is, if you're a casual observer of politics, the only voices you tend to hear are the extreme voices in both sides. That's who you're going to see on
Sure.
Fox News, who you're going to see on MSNBC, whether it's Cori Bush, AOC, or whether it's Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz. You rarely, as a casual observer of politics, hear from the couple hundred members of Congress that are actually trying to do the right thing. But that's kind of the nature of the beast these days.
Nope, absolutely. John, I got to do some business. Can you hang with us a few minutes more?
You bet.
All right, fantastic. Folks, we're visiting with John Hancock here on KMOX's At Your Service. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stick around. Whoa. Welcome back, everyone. KMOX is at your service and heading up to the end of hour number one. But don't worry, we got a whole nother hour to go, going all the way till 10 o'clock tonight. Greg Damon sitting in the big chair here tonight, and we are visiting with our good friend John Hancock. He's been kind enough to join us here on the program. Again, I'm not a political guy. I keep that stuff pretty close to the vest. But as an American person that, hey, I go to work every day, and I'm trying to just survive every day, and just want to get some clarification on some of the stuff that the government's doing, and John's been kind enough to join us here on the program. John, thanks again for hanging out with us.
You bet.
So we kind of talked about some of the countries and the foreign aid that that we give away. To me, it sure seems like there's not many countries that really like us too much. They like taking our money, but they certainly don't seem like they like us too much.
Well, I mean, yeah, you spend a day in the United Nations, and you'll find that out real quick. a lot of countries resent the United States. We're the wealthiest country in the world. We're the most successful country in the world. We consume a disproportionate share of the world's resources because of our wealth. And so there's a lot of resentment in a lot of the world. However, you know, if you look at Western civilization, thinking about the countries of Europe, there's a certain common set of values that we do share. The NATO alliance, for example, is a very effective and tight-knit group of countries, and there's many of them, and NATO is growing. And we have strategic allies in different parts of the world, and with governments, Turkey is a great example. Their government's crappy, but they're a NATO member, and when push comes to shove, they'll be with us. We have relationships with countries like Egypt and Saudi Arabia that have a multitude of their own problems, but from a geopolitical standpoint, they're strategic partners in a lot of ways. And, you know, navigating the world in what is a global economy is not a simple matter. Right. And we have to get along with some bad actors, and we also have to call out the pure evil. There are just purely evil forces in the world. I think Russia certainly counts in that category. Certainly Iran does. North Korea. You know, there are a handful of countries that are just pure evil. But for the most part, you know, we try to keep things as stable as we can as the world's dominant superpower. I don't know for how long we're going to be the world's dominant superpower. It's one of the big questions of the next 20 years of world history. But for now, the world's a better place with us being number one.
Right. I do agree with that. John, I got about a minute and a half here, but I want to get your take here on obviously Israel was attacked. What does that mean for the United States?
Right now, it doesn't mean a lot. Israel is very capable of defending themselves. The thing to keep an eye on, Greg, is does this battle expand beyond Gaza? I suspect Hezbollah in Lebanon, they've already kind of engaged somewhat. Iran is pulling a lot of strings behind the scenes.
That's where I was going.
You've got Assad in Syria, who's been killing his own people for a decade now. He's a threat, a malign threat in the region. This thing could expand out, and if it does, it could be absolutely disastrous. I'm hopeful that Israel can contain this, that they can wipe out Hamas, and within some period of time, get some sense of stability back in that region.
No, we definitely need to have stability, but you know, I think that's one of the problems that we have with a lot of the Middle Eastern companies because, you know, we are allies with Israel. They don't like us too much.
Well, that's right, but they have to deal with us, and
right.
So as long as they have to deal with us, we've got cards to play, and you look at, you know, Jordan is a key peacekeeping component there. That has really been a pretty faithful friend to us and to Israel, for that matter. But the rest of those countries around there would just as soon Israel be wiped off the face of the map.
True.
And that would not be good.
Nope. Well, John, I want to thank you for staying up late and hanging out with us here on At Your Service tonight. When you on next?
I'll be on Friday morning.
All right, Friday morning. And Mr. Michael Kelly joining you as well?
Yeah, he's gonna be at the Sphere tomorrow night in Las Vegas, seeing you too.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to listen in and see what his critic will be. So
I'll be interested to hear that as well.
All right, John. Thanks so much for joining us on the program.
Anytime, Greg.
Thank you. That's our good friend John Hancock hanging out with us here on KMOX tonight. This is the end of now hour number one, but don't worry. We got a whole nother hour. We're going all the way till 10 o'clock tonight. We're going to switch it up. We're going to kick off. That's right. We're going to talk a little football coming up in the next hour. I got some great coaches going to hang out with us as well. Stick around. More to come on KMOX's At Your Service. Welcome back, everyone. KMOX is at your service and heading up to the end of hour number one. But don't worry, we got a whole nother hour to go, going all the way till 10 o'clock tonight. Greg Damon sitting in the big chair here tonight, and we are visiting with our good friend John Hancock. He's been kind enough to join us here on the program. Again, I'm not a political guy. I keep that stuff pretty close to the vest. But as an American person that, hey, I go to work every day, and I'm trying to just survive every day, and just want to get some clarification on some of the stuff that the government's doing, and John's been kind enough to join us here on the program. John, thanks again for hanging out with us.
You bet.
So we kind of talked about some of the countries and the foreign aid that we give away. To me, it sure seems like there's not many countries that really like us too much. They like taking our money, but they certainly don't seem like they like us too much.
Well, I mean, yeah, you spend a day in the United Nations, and you'll find that out real quick. You know, a lot of countries resent the United States. We're the wealthiest country in the world. We're the most successful country in the world. We consume a disproportionate share of the world's resources because of our wealth. And so there's a lot of resentment in a lot of the world. However, you know, if you look at Western civilization, thinking about the countries of Europe, there's a certain common set of values that we do share. The NATO alliance, for example, is a very effective and tight-knit group of countries, and there's many of them, and NATO is growing. And we have strategic allies in different parts of the world, and with governments, Turkey is a great example. Their government's crappy. But they're a NATO member, and when push comes to shove, they'll be with us. We have relationships with countries like Egypt and Saudi Arabia that have a multitude of their own problems, but from a geopolitical standpoint, they're strategic partners in a lot of ways. And, you know, navigating the world in what is a global economy is not a simple matter.
Right.
And we have to get along with some bad actors. And we also have to call out the pure evil. There are just purely evil forces in the world. I think Russia certainly counts in that category. Certainly Iran does. North Korea. You know, there are a handful of countries that are just pure evil. But for the most part, you know, we try to keep things as stable as we can as the world's dominant superpower. I don't know for how long we're going to be the world's dominant superpower. It's one of the big questions of the next 20 years of world history. But for now, the world's a better place with us being number one.
Right. I do agree with that. John, I got about a minute and a half here, but I want to get your take here on obviously Israel was attacked. What does that mean for the United States?
Right now, it doesn't mean a lot. Israel's is very capable of defending themselves. The thing to keep an eye on, Greg, is does this battle expand beyond Gaza? I suspect Hezbollah in Lebanon, they've already kind of engaged somewhat. Iran is pulling a lot of strings behind the scenes.
That's where I was going.
You've got Assad in Syria, who's been killing his own people for a decade now. He's a threat, a malign threat in the region. This thing could expand out, and if it does, it could be absolutely disastrous. I'm hopeful that Israel can contain this, that they can wipe out Hamas, and within some period of time, get some sense of stability back in that region.
No, we definitely need to have stability, but you know, I think that's one of the problems that we have with a lot of the Middle Eastern companies because, you know, we are allies with Israel. They don't like us too much.
Well, that's right. But they have to deal with us. And
right.
So as long as they have to deal with us, we've got cards to play. And you look at, you know, Jordan is a key peacekeeping component there. That has really been a pretty faithful friend to us and to Israel, for that matter. But the rest of those countries around there would just as soon Israel be wiped off the face of the map.
True.
And that would not be good.
Nope. Well, John, I want to thank you for staying up late and hanging out with us here on At Your Service tonight. When are you on next?
I'll be on Friday morning.
All right, Friday morning. And Mr. Michael Kelly joining you as well?
Yeah, he's gonna be at the Sphere tomorrow night in Las Vegas, seeing you too.
Nice, very nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to listen in and see what his critic will be. So
I'll be interested to hear that as well.
All right, John, thanks so much for joining us on the program.
Anytime, Greg.
Thank you. That's our good friend John Hancock hanging out with us here on KMOX tonight. This is the end of now hour number one, but don't worry, we got a whole nother hour. We're going all the way till 10 o'clock tonight. We're gonna switch it up. We're going to kick off. That's right. We're going to talk a little football coming up in the next hour. I got some great coaches going to hang out with us as well. Stick around. More to come on KMOX's At Your Service.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.